of eternal life. Amen. Closing statements. Ever watched a trial with a good lawyer? Some of them, a lot of them have made into movies because usually they just grip people's hearts when the lawyer gets up and makes a fantastic closing statement. Where if you were in the court, you'd probably like to stump up and say, "Amen!" Because they summarize or they give a closure to what has been said. They bring everything to a summation, and it sounds so awesome. And I remember when I first studied the text today, I was thinking my sermon was going to be the greatest closing statements. Because it really does sound, if you read the text that we have before us from John 6 and from Ephesians 5, that these are closing statements. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, for we know that you are the Holy One of God." I mean, how much better a closing statement can you get? But the reality is, it's not a closing statement. The reality is, it's a transitional statement. It's a statement that's going to change the way that they move on from this point forward. It's a transitional statement because what it says is, before we wondered, but now we know, and this is what it means. That's why it's so funny, because whoever did this versology that we have in the English Bible, whether it was Wycliffe or it was the King James translators, we don't know whether it was Luther. I mean, everybody has different opinions on who put the verses into the text. Because in the Greek text, there are no verses. In the Greek text, there are no chapters. You know this? I've talked about this before. But somewhere along the line, someone decided that in order for, you know, again, it was about good order, because that seems to be a theme, good order, that we should have chapters and verses. So someone went through and decided Ephesians needed to have 6 chapters. And they need to have so many verses. Then they even did even crazier things as they translated the scriptures into different translations. You know, the English Standard Version, the one we use, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, and I can go on and on. There's many. They decided to put subsections underneath those verses. So a part of a chapter would have one chapter would have 2 parts. For example, chapter 5 of Ephesians would go from 1 to 21, and then from 22 to the end, which we use in wedding services, right? And it's funny because our Lutheran publishing house, every time they come up with a wedding liturgy, they always put in, starting at verse 22, "Wives submit to you." You've heard this before, right? I don't want to get in trouble here. And remember, husbands, there's a lot more in there about you than there is about the wives, so I'm not going to get beat up on this. I don't want to go there. But it's funny because a lot of times, like myself, I will put "submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, therefore, wives," okay? Because it seems to me like it shouldn't be the closing statement, but it should be the transitional statement. All the things that Paul has talked about in chapter 4 and 5 about us being new creatures, about us living as people who are new, who are given forgiveness, who are given a fresh start, who are called out of darkness into light, who are equipped by the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, that as we are equipped to live as God's people in this world, as we move from darkness to light, that he's saying to us, this should be a result of that. And so I thought it was a wonderful closing statement for that one part, okay, that says we should be seeking. You know what the whole purpose of chapter 5, the first part of chapter 5 is? Did you gather that as Nancy read it so nicely for us this morning? Did you gather what his point was? Some might say Paul's point was that we should move from out of darkness into light. That's one of the points, right? That's a good point. How many of you like to be in the darkness? No. Being going from darkness to light is important. But what else does he say? It says, be wise, not... Well, he actually uses a little... Unwise. Yeah. Be wise, not unwise. Sounds like a good plan, right? We should be wise. Recognizing who we are, we should want to live as children of the light rather than children of darkness. We should not live like the sons of disobedience that he's talking about there, who excuse their sin and basically flaunt it. He's saying, no, we shouldn't do that. We should strive to be like Jesus. We should strive, and the real purpose of that particular part of Scripture is funny, because when you read it in the Greek, it kind of makes more sense in my mind, because, of again, there isn't the paragraph and chapters and stuff, or the chapters and verses that you have. But really what it is, it's asking us as children of the light, as children of God, to discern what the Father's will is for us. Even more than going from wise, or going from unwise to wise, from darkness to light, even more important to Paul is that we discern what is pleasing to God and his will for us. That's what's really important for him. That's what he really wants to emphasize to the church in Ephesus, and I believe to us. Because when we start asking what is God's will, it's going to challenge us, right? I mean, the Lord's will, I just love John chapter 6. I could have preached on that very easily. Because how many of you felt convicted when you read and heard those words in John chapter 6? When Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be part of me. How many of you felt convicted? I did. That there's a lot of times where I don't think about the fact that what we do, because we're enculturated. It's part of what we do. We do it every week. It doesn't really stand out, you know. And I have to admit, it's very easy for us sometimes to just receive this gift and not think about how revolutionary it was for the people that it was first introduced to. Think about that. It was cannibalism. That sounds gross. I mean, these people were really grossed out by this whole thing. How can he say that? And I always love the way the Anabaptists dismiss this whole chapter. Well, Jesus can't be a door and he can't be a gate. So obviously he's not talking about himself. I'm not sure how you can read that without understanding. Well, anyways, that's another story. I can spend time on that. But didn't it give you a sense of how when you're doing the Lord's will, it's not going to make sense to the world around us? When you seek the will of God, when you seek what pleases God, do you know that it's going to be counter to the culture that we now live in? Are you aware of this? Is this a new revelation? No. Do you realize that when you seek to please the Lord and do his will, that you are going to be living counter to what people around you are seeking after? What are people around you seeking after? Cigarettes. Pleasures of the world. Okay, Gordy. I don't think everybody's in your situation, but there are people like that, okay? What are people in the world seeking after? Pleasure? Power? Money? Stuff? Isn't there a lot of stuff? Oh, there's lots of stuff. Pardon me? Fame. Yes. You're working with the football team, right? They're all going to be in the NFL. You know that, right? Okay. What do people seek after? Truth. Yes. Pardon me? Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay, yes. You see, we don't necessarily live in a world that is striving after God's will. One of the things that used to amaze me was that for years we used to say the Lord's Prayer. And yet what does the Lord's Prayer, what's the petition? Yeah, it's not my will be done. Although when we were reading it really fast, it almost sounded like that. Maybe that's where it went off the rails. I don't know. But it's thy will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven. And so, brothers and sisters, as we prepare for the fall, as we prepare to walk as his people into this wonderful world and mission field that God has given to us, you know, it is a privilege to be next to a university. You realize now, I think I've mentioned this a couple times, but I just want you to understand the significance of why we're here. As of this year, we are the only chapel adjacent to this campus. You understand that now? We are the only chapel adjacent to this campus. Now everybody says, well, it's Eastern. Well, if this university was anywhere else but in the shadow of the U of M, it would be a phenomenal university. It is a phenomenal university. I mean, it would be known as a phenomenal university because it wouldn't be in the shadow of this. You know, that's why I always say as a Canadian, I do well here because I grew up in the shadow of this great. So I understand this whole thing. We got this. But anyways, but you know, we are the only chapel. We're it. Do you feel a privilege? Do you feel the sense of what God has given us? The privilege to be here at this time in history and ask him, Lord, what is your will for us at this time in history? And I'll tell you something. It is amazing when you think about the possibilities and the opportunities God has given to us. We have so many. This week we have experienced students coming in earlier than we ever have asking us about what's going on here. Had a friend who I know who lives in Dearborn who comes out. We have a group of guys that meets on Monday nights, and he comes to our meetings on Monday nights, and he was telling me that his son is going to be, I think, in Best or Wise, one of those dorms over here, and the RAs were taking them around to show them the dorms and everything last Saturday for orientation. It was their turn for orientation. They were going around, and they were telling them about this program that the police have where you can call someone even up to 2 o'clock in the morning or even later, and they'll come and escort you from wherever you are to your dorm so that you feel safe. We have students that do that, like Joel and others who do that. So, you know, it's a tremendous program, but one of the mothers, I always got to love mothers, what do you mean 2 o'clock in the morning? What are they doing up at 2 o'clock in the morning? And so this guy from Dearborn, who knows about our ministry here, saved the RAs by saying, well, isn't there some pancakes and waffles around here? And the RAs are going, yes, there's pancakes and waffles at that church over there. And they go to 2 o'clock. What about saving people from the fire, right? So God is at work. God is at work. And my prayer for you and for me and for us as a whole is let's pray to know what is pleasing to God. What is his will for us? Because I just want to share with you, this is a very, very risky prayer. Because I want you to understand something, and this is what got me in trouble from the first day I came to the United States and started preaching. And it got me in trouble in Canada, but for some reason I thought it wouldn't get me in trouble here. I was wrong. God does not care about our comfort as much as he cares about our salvation. Can I say that again? I know I'm going to be in trouble. I'm just like, oh. I'm going to turn my email off for the next week. God does not care as much about our comfort as he cares about our salvation. Okay? So if you're praying for God's will, you got to start with the right precepts. You got to understand when you're praying for God's will, you understand the heart of God. You understand that he was willing to give his only son to die for us, for our salvation. He puts comfort down here and eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, those type of things up here. And in our culture, what do people strive after the most? Comfort. Comfort. That's why they, you know, kind of reacted in some ways to me. Because that's one thing I understand. Maybe it's because of my military experience. I don't know. But I understand right from the get-go that God cares less about our comfort than he does our salvation. And so when we start to pray this dangerous prayer, Lord, what is pleasing to you? What is your will for us? What do you want from us? What would you like us to do as a body? What do you want us to do for the students? What do you want us to do? It usually comes down to this terrible word called sacrifice. Another bad word. Yes, stay up to 2 a.m. Well, I'm not asking everybody to do that. My mom didn't create any. Anyways, I know where the limits are. But am I? You understand what I'm saying? And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. When I came back here, that was one of the things that I love about serving at Cross Resurrection is I know you understand this. I know that over and over again, you give up your comfort for the sake of the students. Over and over again, you give up and sacrifice for the sake of those who are not yet people who understand that Jesus died for them, rose again for them, and has a place for them in eternity. I know that. You all have proven it over and over again. And I'm very thankful for that. I can look around and see people who have given so much and have sacrificed so much. And I guess what I'm asking you to do, and as we prepare for next week, Chuck's coming next week, by the way. Chuck Fenton's going to be here, and he's going to preach. So let people know. Let people know. Because, you know, you're probably going to say, phew, don't have to listen to this anymore. But I just want you to, we've only got a few weeks left to pray and ask the Lord, what is your will, God? What pleases you? What do you want from us? What can I do? Where can I serve? What areas do you want me to sacrifice? And if you're tired, and many of you should be because you've given a lot, know that the Lord wants us to work in areas of strength. So maybe the question should be, am I in the right area or do I need to find another area to serve? A change is as good as a rest, they used to say. They still say that? No? Carol's saying, hey, no, that's not true. But sometimes it's good. They don't say it anymore. But sometimes it's good to hear that because sometimes a change is as good as a rest. If we're working in an area and we're getting tired, then maybe it's time for us to ask the Lord, what do you want us to do? Maybe it's a season in our life where we move to something else. It's okay. I want to give you permission to ask that question because it's a valid question. I mean, we've had people that have gone from this church to another church to serve, and it's broken my heart because I'm very family-orientated. I like to keep you all with me because that's just the way I'm wired. But I have to say, you know, if you're going to go serve someplace and you feel called to that, then may God bless you in it. But don't just leave because, you know, you have a selfish reason. Do it because God's putting it on your heart. But I know that there are people who need to be here. And my prayer is that we're praying for God's leading and what pleases him, what is on his heart, what is his will. And that we're praying sincerely for that. Can we do that? Because I really want you to know. I you know, every year I get a sense because I like the fall. The fall means change. It means newness. It means new people. New students, it can be a very exciting time. If you work at a university like we're here, you know, it's a fresh new start. But this year is different because I almost feel like it's like these phrases, like I said, the submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. It could be a great conclusion to the first part of chapter 5, but it's also a great introduction to the next section on submission. It's almost like we're getting to the end, but we're just beginning. And I really get a sense the Lord is moving. When people come in and they're interested and they're talking, they're asking questions, I get a sense the Lord is really at work. Jesus is doing what he said in John 6. He's drawing people to himself. And it's our job to be ready. To be Christ for the students that come here. Amen? Amen. So, with that, let us stand as we pray. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you all honor and glory, for you do have the words of eternal life. We know that you are the Holy One of God. We know that when we submit to one another out of reverence for